Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Bottoming, the LGBTQ mental health podcast about rock bottoming and beyond. Kindly sponsored by Joe Malone London.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BottomingPod or visit bottomingpodcast.com for more content relating to each episode.
We've also added a support page to the website to direct you to the right place if you're struggling or need someone to talk to.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Oh my god, that is such
happy
a big boy.
Happy birthday to Matthew.
Happy birthday to me. And also Brendan Ferry this month.
You have to light your candles. Did you make a wish?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
A little bit after I meant to, but I did.
Right, should we try it?
Wow. Is this bigger than the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, how are we going to eat this?
With forks.
Straight from the table. If this goes on my jeans, though, that'll be a nightmare. Oh my god, that marshmallow is so delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a fork.
That was delicious. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Wow, so the first 10 minutes of recording is just eating cake. Let them eat cake.
That was ASMR. Okay then.
Okay.
Hello, I am Matthew.
And I am Brendan, and our pronouns are he and him.
You are listening to Bottoming. This is season 3, and this is the first of some very special LGBT History Month episodes.
Yeah. Thank you for enjoying us just eating cake. That was delicious mm-hmm. for Matthew's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But the first episode of this series, we've got the Logbooks,
mm-hmm.
who we've really loved their podcast since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
We had the pleasure of speaking to Tash Walker and Shivani Dave about the process of making it, some of their favourite parts,
mm-hmm.
and loads of other stuff.
Mm. And it's quite a momentous occasion for them at the moment as well, because they've just finished season 3, which is going to be the final season, because they've run out of physical logbooks to do the podcast from, and it's all digital. So if you haven't come across them before or listened to them, we'd highly recommend, after this, going over and listening mm-hmm. to them. So we are going to do things a little bit differently this History Month. If you were around last year, you know we did weekly episodes, which we loved doing. It was fantastic. But it was a lot of work. It was a lot of
it was loads.
So the way we're doing it this time is we're going to release the same number of episodes. However, we're just going to condense them a little bit, like the World AIDS Day episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So you lucky sods again get two episodes today released at the same time.
So lucky.
Packed with gorgeous conversations. Mm-hmm. So yeah, stick around for part two afterwards, where we will continue some of the conversations around the logbooks with Adam Smith, who is also one of the co-hosts of the logbooks and has just released his first book, Deep Sniff.
About the history of poppers.
Mm. So we get deep into that conversation in episode two, so stick around.
How have you been otherwise? Because last week was a big week for you.
It was.
Announcing to the audience your...
Me returning to bottoming.
Yeah, you returned to bottoming.
Yeah, I'm okay. I have been trying to take things slowly because obviously I had a period of time not really doing that much. So it has been quite a significant adjustment period. I've definitely felt the medication doing its work. Mm-hmm. I'm being stretched on that front, but... Yeah, generally I feel okay. I got some quite exciting news this week, which I will discuss maybe in some future episodes.
It's got to be secret.
Because it's a secret at the moment. But yeah, it should definitely, I think, help me get on the way to feeling generally better this year. And I'm quite excited generally about this year. I think the new year change definitely helped me kickstart things. I also had my last counselling session as well since we last spoke. And also we went to Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
Since we recorded. So it has been, there's been quite a few things going on.
Mm.
But yeah, it's, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Yes. Yeah. Back to uni, going full speed ahead, just doing my ethics application for my research. Hopefully everyone that is listening, or a lot of people that are listening, will be able to be involved in that in some way. But I'll be able to tell you more in a couple of months, hopefully, when things have gone through. But yeah, otherwise, I've been pretty good. We said bye to the cats. They're officially gone.
Oh.
Which was actually really sad. But we're going to be fostering more cats because they need homes.
They need love and support.
They need love and support while they get back on their feet.
We had a nice trip to Liverpool, didn't we, actually?
I really enjoyed it.
Wow. It was a very quick, not even 48 hours.
That's the thing. I think it was... 36 hours. I've never seen Liverpool as an adult. I'd only been, when I was a kid, on a school trip to the Tate. Mm. And that as well would have been a quick...
Yeah.
Because we're on a coach and stuff like that. But this was, as much as I loved it, it was very busy.
Yeah,
like next time we go, I want it to be maybe like just a nice full weekend, even just a full weekend.
Yeah. But we went up there very last minute for another very exciting project that we can't talk about yet.
No.
But we will be able to hopefully very soon.
Yeah.
When we share that. But yeah, it was for all good things. And we had a gorgeous breakfast with my nan and granddad.
Oh.
Bless them. So
it
sweet.
Was really
they
gorgeous,
loved you, you know?
Actually. Did they?
Yeah, I mean, Antonio, forget the word she used.
Gay.
I told her she was a liar. It was something along the lines of a really sweet, intelligent boy.
Oh.
And I said, I'm not sure. She hadn't had a tea yet, so.
You've got some nerve. Oh, another thing, when this comes out, you will have turned
21!
Plus 8.
Yeah, I'll be 29.
Do you feel good about this next year? Do you feel like there's any rush to kind of get things done before you turn 30? Because there's this whole thing about like, well, there's this whole thing in terms of like horoscopes and stuff, the moon coming back to where the position it was when you were born, and like how it's a transitional period, and you know, feeling like you're gonna get things done, or and also when you're a kid, you see like this is 30. You assume it's like this old age.
Yeah.
Which you try and make out that it is.
I'm just playing. It's very young.
It's so young.
Yeah.
But do you feel any pressure over
that? No, not at all. No, I actually, and I've seen a lot of people that I've been friends with or know of that have had like very intense periods leading up to 10:30. But no, with age, I've never been that concerned about it, to be honest. Yeah, I do make tons of jokes about you turning 30 because you're forever a year older than me, but we're both still absolute babies. I'm excited to kind of leave the 20s behind.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because it's been a very intense 10 years.
Tumultuous.
Yeah. The same as like last year, I was able to a certain degree like let go of it because we went into a new year. I always find those types of changes quite important. So that's what I work with it anyway. Mm. But no, I'm not scared to turn 30 at all. But I've still got under 12 months. So hopefully in that time, I'll be debt-free, which has been a big stress for me 20s. I'd like to get a dog as well. I'm saying all this to manifest and also have some accountability so it happens. But hopefully by the end of the year, tick, tick, tick.
Well, if we talk about accountability, when I was 25, I said, when I turn 30, I'm going to put myself on the register to adopt a child. Now I am 30. No way will I include a child in my life now or in the next 10 years, probably.
Yeah.
I do not want to... I'm actually drawing closer to the acceptance that I'm probably not going to be a dad, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think we'll cover that in another episode because that's quite a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That shut you off. So, as you mentioned, this episode we're chatting to the logbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shivani Darvey and Tash Walker.
Who you might recognise her voice because mm-hmm. she was on the very, well, our very first guest
mm-hmm.
in season one, which was season one, episode two. And it was all about Outlook,
mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly. It's because she was and still is working at Switchboard LGBT. And so she was talking about the types of conversations they were having when people call in
mm-hmm.
To Switchboard.
It was just a nice full circle moment, wasn't it, to chat again?
It was.
Because between when we caught up and initially interviewed and then now, they've released three seasons of the logbook. So it's obviously given a real in-depth look at the history of Switchboard and also the LGBTQ community.
Which actually a bit of trivia. We were at that talk which Adam
mm-hmm.
approached Tash mm-hmm. about the logbooks
because yeah.
it was a history of... We went to see at...
Bishopsgate Institute.
Bishopsgate.
We were. And, how's that for history for you?
aggressive.
But yeah, it was a pleasure speaking to them and finding out a bit more about the process.
Yeah.
And also how they've handled their own mental health as well, because a lot of the topics that they cover, obviously given the timings of it, from the 70s through to the early 2000s, have been quite intense.
Mm.
So
here they are.
I'm Tash Walker. My pronouns are she, they. I am one of the presenters and producers of the Logbooks podcast. I'm also one of the co-chairs at Switchboard. And have just started a new podcast production company with Adam and Shivani called Aunt Nell, off the back of our little child, the Logbooks podcast.
And I'm Shivani Darvey with they, them pronouns. And I am one of the co-producers of the Logbooks and one of the co-founders. Are we calling ourselves founders? Sure, go with it, chic. One of the co-founders of Aunt Nell. I do lots of bits and bobs of radio things and broadcasting, and Aunt Nell is my home for that.
AKA non-binary icon.
We'll make sure that's in the episode bio.
Yes.
Thank you. So I have to pay Tash to say it because it's a bit conceited if I say it about myself.
Yeah. I've actually just got the Monzo acceptance confirmation of that money, so thanks, Shiv.
So how does it feel now that you've just kind of finished season three, which for anyone that hasn't listened, is the last season of the logbooks? How are you both feeling?
All of the emotions. I'm so happy that we went on this journey. I'm proud of being able to share those stories. I'm proud of how people have responded to the stories. I'm overwhelmed with joy of finding this community and being able to be part of creating this community. But I'm devastated. It feels like an end to some degree. But that's not the case. It's always a point of evolution. It's an emotional roller coaster, just like each and every single episode of the logbooks. Mm. There's no one word to sort of capture all of the different emotions I'm feeling.
Mm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's certainly been an emotional ride. I feel, yeah, the same as Shiv. Super grateful. Also a bit in shock that we've sort of finished and made this podcast. Just thinking back to, you know, coming across the logbooks in the first instance mm. and reading those entries, And now looking at how we've managed to share that history is just, it really does give you pause for thought, but it also reminds us all, I think, how important it is to share the history and what an impact that can have.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as much as we can say we've created the Logbooks podcast, these aren't our stories. They're part of our history. But all we've done is given them a platform which they've never had before, which just leans into everything that we believe in, that's at the core of all of our morals and ethics in the Logbooks podcast between Adam, Shiv and myself. And I know you two share this, and that's that, you know, these are stories that should be shared. It's part of our history, and it's all about giving a platform for those memories, mm-hmm. to continue to live on past the moments they were alive or in the switchboard logbooks. You know, mm-hmm. it's about how can we keep talking and sharing for the future. So to sum up, I do feel really, really happy, but I also feel quite sad too. But it's not, it will never be the end.
Yeah.
Just like a good folk song, it will carry on for years.
So thinking about back to when everything started, I know you just mentioned when you first came across the logbooks themselves. What drew you to the podcast format, and how did you develop the structure of the episodes?
Yeah, okay. So I think I first met Adam when he came to see me do a talk on my research and findings from the actual physical logbooks in the archive. And at that point, I was looking into doing some kind of oral history project, something around capturing these memories of the people who'd called Switchboard, who'd listened to those calls, the volunteers, the callers, people who have memories of that time. And then Adam approached me and said, you know, this sounds like a podcast, I think it could really work. And it just made so much sense, especially when you think about the way in which podcasts are kind of similar to phone calls. They're directly into your ear. It's very rarely, some people do, but it's very rarely that you listen to them on a speaker. It's often through headphones, which is how we have those conversations on the phone. It leans into this intimacy, which really naturally reflected the stories that we were sharing. Just that conversation between two people, the podcast and the listener, was so similar it felt to the caller and the switchboard volunteer. So we felt like that was the perfect medium, and not to have too much of an interview style, having the stories and the memories interwoven between them, and us sort of guiding the listener on that journey makes it, I think, feel even more intimate. Again, trying to echo that telephone call, that opening up and sharing of those memories, and how we set about doing the format. Lots and lots and lots of conversations and lots and lots and lots of meetings. We went through the logbook entries, we split it into different time periods. So we've had three seasons. The first season is 70s, early 80s. Second season is majority of the 80s, early 90s. And then the third brings us up to 2003 when the logbooks finish. And what we would do is read the logbooks. Adam would read them for the first time. I would reread them. And then we would collate them into themes.
Mm.
So what were the most popular types of calls? What were people reaching out to Switchboard for throughout this period of time? Because we didn't want it to be necessarily chronological, although we did group that in a chronological season mm-hmm. setting. Because one day you can get a call on someone coming out, and the next day you can get a call from someone whose partner's just died. And it really is that up and down. You have no idea what's going to come next. And so we tried to do that with the themes mm-hmm. of each episode. And then we would just go and interview these incredible people and sit with them. I always got carried away for hours and hours and hours, so much audio, and just ask some questions and just listen to them. And just one of my favourite things was just all of those interviews that we did.
Mm.
And then we would edit those interviews down to match with the themes of the logbooks. And then we would spend lots and lots of time talking about that. What are we going to say? What comes next? How do we work it flow? How do we work it? How does it flow? So, you know, it's you know, our blood runs in this podcast. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And Shivani, just to add to that, I guess, you're not a voice on the podcast. You obviously do a lot of the production behind it, don't you?
I mostly work with Tash and Adam in the studio and with scripting and with helping them transition between some of those really joyous moments to sometimes really heartbreaking moments, and occasionally sort of work with them in setting the tone and striking the right balance with scripting and things like that. And it's really an interesting place to be, because we, as the three of us, you know, all have these same ideas of why we wanted to make this podcast and what we wanted to get out of it. And so I think initially, because Tash and Adam didn't know each other very well, I didn't know either of them well at all either. And initially I thought, oh, I'm going to be the person who has to like tear them apart when they're fighting. There's going to be big ego battles about who gets to, you know, speak more on the podcast. And it's been none of that. It's been a really beautiful, like, collaborative effort where we've all just tried to do the best thing. And it's always a bit of the yes and culture. Like, yes, that's a really good idea, and how can we make sure that this is the clearest and the most, you know, sensitively handled way of scripting an episode or talking about these issues that we perhaps might not have lived experience of, but obviously want to deal with it in the best way. And it's been great, actually. I think my job's been pretty fun. I've enjoyed it.
And in terms of what you were, and this is for both of you especially, like, when you were preparing to launch the very first episode, what were your expectations? And then kind of compare that to right now, three seasons on, you've won an award, you've had like the most insane reception. How have those things been for you?
So I think when we first started, we were making this podcast for us and for people like us. So people who are potentially queer or allies, and interested in our history. And honestly, I think I can speak for the three of us when I say we didn't expect it to be quite this, you know, quote unquote successful. And it's kind of blown us away. You know, we've got listeners in countries where LGBTQ plus resources and services are virtually non-existent, in places like the UAE, places like, you know, all over the world, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, certain countries in Africa where there might not be resources, like Kenya, for example. And I don't think we ever expected that. And I don't think we ever expected to get quite the amount of feedback from listeners as we have, sort of sharing how they found the logbooks to be such a powerful tool for them to learn their own history, but also to feel somewhat educated to be able to talk about these topics with other people. So we've had teachers reach out to us, and we've had people of all different age groups and different backgrounds. But one that really sticks out to me is a slightly old woman who said that she'd never seen like stories like hers or from that generation of LGBTQ plus people being represented and being seen. And she'd never heard these things being talked about before. And that I just never thought that would happen, but it touches me.
Yeah. I just wanted someone to listen to it that wasn't my mum, really. That's the main thing.
I think we both get that.
I think, yeah, it was like everything that Shiv said, like, completely second and echo. I was such a ball of anxiety, season one. I remember ringing Adam as soon as I thought it was okay to call him, like 6:15 a.m. and just being like, oh, I've just had all of these thoughts. I don't think that we've included this in this. And like, yes, we have, Tash. Yes, we have. Like, okay, fine. I think that we just felt such a weight of responsibility over these incredible shared memories that people trusted us to not only tell us, but to share in the right way. You know, we don't want to over edit something. We want it to be in the words of those people who spoke to us and you know, and look after it in that moment. And like Shiv said, it's amazing when people, it's just that they are hearing their stories for the first time ever. And one that jumps out to me from the latest season, Shiv, you'll remember this as well, is that we received a message from a listener who has been listening to the podcast all the way through the seasons. And it was about the episode on disability. And she wrote to us and just said, I never in my life ever thought that there would be someone out there making a podcast, not just mentioning it, but a whole episode on disability and being queer. And like referencing the fact that I use language such as able-bodied in the episode. And it means so much to us because we really do think about these things so much, and we really care about all of the topics. And I think that's something that I hope shines through in each episode, because it is about our history. But one of the main things that I believe, and I know I can speak on behalf of Shiv and Adam, is that in order to push forward for a better, more equal, more inclusive future, we have to look back in the past, mm-hmm. and we have to pause and reflect on what hasn't changed. I know, celebrate what has, but what hasn't changed? Why hasn't it changed? And it's not just, you know, there should always be a continual pursuit mm-hmm. for perfection, because you'll never get there. But the whole point is the journey.
Yeah.
Ooh. For sure. I think also that listener who emailed us sort of saying how they were really happy about the representation of the fact that they are both disabled and LGBTQ plus, and the nuances of navigating both of those spaces mm-hmm. did call for a whole podcast on LGBTQ plus disability, mm-hmm. Culture and lifestyle and the issues that they face as well. And I feel like if anybody's out there listening to this and they want to fund us to make that podcast yes. with that listener, then, you know, email me, DM me.
I'm a Monzo.
So obviously coming to the end of season three and the end of the podcast, it offers a great chance to reflect on all the stories that you've shared. Have there been any, it's probably going to be impossible to pick, but are there any that stick out to you as most memorable for the two of you?
I hate that question.
All of them.
I think there's one moment that really struck with me, and it's partly because I did the interview, I think. But we interviewed someone called Steve, who was a volunteer at Switchboard, and we interviewed him in season two. He was a volunteer who found out that he was HIV positive. They used the language antibody positive back then. And we found a series of letters in the logbooks where he comes out as such, starting off as an anonymous positive person and moves through and ends up leaving Switchboard. I didn't know if he was still alive. I didn't know where he was. His entries are just so full of feeling and felt like they could have been written today. And then we found him and I spoke to him. He was, this was in the height of COVID isolation on Zoom. He's in a small village in Wales. And when he was rereading one of the logbook entries, in the note that he'd left in the entry, he talks about breaking down at this group session he was in because with other HIV positive people. So this is in the 80s. And someone hugging him, even though it was a stranger, was just so powerful. And then he cries when he's talking to me about it. And I'm on Zoom, I'm looking at him, I'm sobbing. I can't touch him. All I want to do is hug him. Such an isolated moment, reflecting on such an isolated moment. Mm. So that was a really powerful moment for me. I at the end of that interview, which was like, we did over a couple of days, hours and hours with him, I said it had been such a privilege to interview him. He was like, oh, for God's sake. And it's just, that's just such an essence of all of them. Like, not every single one of the people that we spoke to are just amazing. They just don't even know why we're interested in their stories. But that was a really powerful moment for me, among all of the other amazing interviews and logbook entries and things that I've learned, like the custody battles in the 70s for predominantly lesbians or bisexual women, right the way through to language around transgender and gender non-conforming people, where you can see these logbook entries. There's one that we share in the third season, where the volunteer is obviously trying to grapple with the thing around pronouns and starts off the logbook entry talking about a trans woman using he, she, like in their writing. Then they go on to they, and then by the end of the logbook entry, they're using she. So it's almost like they've gone on this pronoun journey throughout the logbook entry, which is so fascinating when you think about what we're doing with the way that we talk about pronouns today. Anyway, Shiv, over to you.
I think one of the stories that stick out in my mind is from the first season, and it's like episode two, it's like one of the first ones, but it's just something that I found that I really connected to right at the beginning of the logbooks, when this was just a sort of seedling still, and we were working on it, and I'd listened to this episode, and we hadn't published any of them. I had no idea what the reception was going to be, or the other stories that we'd find, and the kinds of people that we'd get to talk to and meet along the way. But this one is the story of Lynn and Elaine, who are my all-time favourite, and Tash is laughing because I've told this story so many times. They're both called Switchboard in the 70s, seeking to find a group or a place where they could meet other lesbian women or other women who were interested in women. And they both just talk so casually about that first night when they met, and they're still together all these years later. And firstly, that itself is like, I think I was going through a breakup at the time. I was like, oh my God, there is love out there. But they're still together, and they talk about, you know, turning up to gateways with a fur coat and an oversized bag and not realizing that that wasn't lesbian fashion at the time, and not like not knowing what they were doing in the space and kind of working through that and navigating the space together and being with each other. And you can hear how much they love each other as well as they talk about that. And oh my God, that story just makes me leap for joy so much inside my heart. And then when we were launching season one, we had a small gathering and Lynn and Elaine both were able to come. And so I literally walked up to them and I think Adam said, Lynn, Elaine, this is Shivani. They're obsessed with you. And I literally said, can you adopt me, please? Aww. And they didn't say no. So I'm waiting for the paperwork.
I mean, it's COVID's probably delayed it slightly, hasn't it? It's probably, it's caused a bit of Royal Mail.
It's always Royal Mail. I'm sure it's on the way.
As you mentioned, you kind of, the way that you put the podcast together meant that you kind of went all over the place with themes. There's been some really intense episodes, some really quite upsetting episodes as well. Being the people behind that, producing that, obviously we're a mental health podcast, so we wanted to get this side of it as well, combining the history and that and that. How did you all cope with those sorts of things and kind of, I guess, the process that you find yourself going through to look after yourself? Because a lot of that stuff is not just like light touch sadness. Some of it was really quite deep.
Yeah, it's really hard. Lots of crying. Mm. I don't think there was season two particularly because of many things, but it covers things like Section 28, HIV and AIDS crisis, media, hostility, many powerful topics. It was particularly difficult, and we were going through a global pandemic.
Yeah.
And a parallel, which I've not really thought about until this moment, but I was also trying to keep Switchboard alive today. And when we went into lockdown, I was working every day trying to keep the helpline open, and then make this podcast, and listen to all of these entries and read the current call reports about people being kicked out in lockdown and all of these things. It's a lot, but I think the most important thing for us was to talk to each other. We always spoke to each other. We would check in constantly. We would take breathers, take breaths. We would like think about how we were making these episodes and think about how it was affecting us and try and help the listener in that, taking a pause if necessary, breaking up episodes into more than one if necessary. But one thing I've learned over my many years and also like openly having my own journey with mental health is that sometimes you just have to sit with it and let whatever's happening come up and let yourself feel those feelings and just let it happen, and then slowly and surely you do start to feel a bit clearer about why you're feeling those things and just time. So I think that's what we always try to do with each other, is to support each other, listen to each other. We check in before every meeting, and I was going through a particularly difficult time in my life during this as well, and I remember both Adam and Shivani turning up at my door, bringing cakes and treats just to sort of let me know that I was thinking of them. So the only way you'll get through anything is by being supported, but more importantly, letting people support you, I think.
For sure. I think, it really helps that through this journey, the three of us have become really good friends. I think of Tash and Adam more like family members, where sometimes, you know, we might have a tiff or a dispute or find the other one really annoying, because we'll have these really intense periods of time where we're recording, we're seeing each other so much and we're talking all the time every day. But in that same way that, like siblings, they can be annoying, I think they can also you know, be the greatest strength and the greatest support there. So that's really powerful, and that's really what's held us together as a group, I think.
Mm.
I think as well, you know, we're really conscious, the three of us, about mental health struggles, either from having dealt with our own struggles or from seeing each other go through particularly hard points in our lives. And we want to make sure that the listener is aware of what might be coming up in an episode. So we always give content warnings,
mm-hmm.
to try and make sure that the listener understands that if this episode might be somewhat triggering for them, then they don't have to listen to it, or maybe listen with caution. And those are some of the things that we've tried to do to consider the mental health of the listeners as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now Adam's shown up, I think we'll just skip to the last question, which is, what's next for Aunt Now?
Well, we've got lots of exciting things in the pipeline, as they say. Shiv and I are working on one of our next big projects, which is called Black and Gay Back in the Day, which is an amazing Instagram account,
mm-hmm.
Which we managed to get funding from the Audio Content Fund. So at the beginning of making that, Shiv, mm-hmm. do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, we're at Black and Gay Back in the Day kind of gives you an idea of what it might be about. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not just going to be talking about gay life back in the day. We're going to be talking about all LGBTQ plus communities. But the Instagram account is called Black and Gay Back in the Day. And I feel like lots of people use gay as an umbrella term for the community as a whole still. And besides that, we're working on a lot of different things that are sort of bubbling away, and I'm not sure what we are and aren't allowed to announce yet.
You're trying to talk through eyes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's really exciting.
Yeah.
And we can give you more info soon.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we can talk about it, my Twitter will let you know.
That's exciting about the next series, though, because we interviewed Jason and Mark for our Pride episode, so that had such an amazing response when it launched, didn't it? So I'm excited to see that given another form of life as well, mm-hmm. kind of audio wise so amazing.
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful archive that they've managed to put together, and I'm really excited to start doing something with the work that they've sort of curated, and I know Tash's as well.
Yeah, there's lots coming up, watch this space.
That was a really lovely day, actually, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to those two.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had Tash and Shivani, and then it was like a little crossover,
mm-hmm.
and then Adam popped up, and we got to have a nice, gorgeous chat with Adam. Yeah, thanks for being involved in the episode.
So if, as we mentioned, you haven't listened to Logbooks, you can find it on anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. And also, if you want to check out Aunt Nell,
you can find them at auntnell_ on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's AUNTNELL_.
That is it for part one of this episode, or this double episode, I should say. So we will not keep you any longer. We'll give you a little break.
Have a cup of tea.
Have a cup of tea.
Have a piece of cake.
And then we'll see you straight over for part two.
Yeah.
To talk about poppers. Okay, see you on the other side. Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.